What's going on, Bears fans? Happy Friday. We are celebrating, and we are also giving some apologies from everyone at DraftKings, our presenting sponsor, our leader, our absolute positive. Just, we would go down any street for you, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. DraftKings would like to apologize to anybody last night who bet on the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, come on.
And
I was like, where's he going with this?
Yeah, I've involved. I literally corporate DraftKings reached out to me. I was like, listen, for any of the Bulls people who just thought that they would beat the Hornets and just knew that that was absolutely in the bank, well, and then they lost by 100 points, we apologize. So that was very nice of them.
Man, that was a game that I bet on. I know. What the hell is right? I bet on that game. I went to Twitter, let out my frustration as I usually do when I watch Bulls games. They just need to blow everything up, Mark. I'm done with it. That core's not doing anything. It's not going anywhere. You can't lose to the Hornets. You're up by just not good.
Not good at all. Hello to everybody jumping in here, Mike and Gary and Crystal, and a happy Friday. As you see, the show is yours truly and Nick today. What's up, Mubs? And of course, Lawrence leading us to victory. There's a ton to do. And one thing that we didn't get to yesterday, which we're going to lead with today, which you may have heard this audio by now, or maybe you haven't. But let me ask you a question, Nick. Do you think that a guy by the name of Warren Sapp knows what he's talking about in general?
It depends. It depends, Mark. But I think after our listeners, viewers listen to this clip, we might have a little debate about it.
Defensive line play, yes. Quarterback rumors, no, is kind of what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's exactly what you're saying. All right. So, full disclosure, Dan Levy, whose voice you're going to hear first here, is a friend of mine. Dan was at my wedding. Dan, I've worked with in the business for many years, as many people in Chicago have. Dan's a good dude. Dan's not a football expert. Dan called me up and was like, hey, I'm interviewing Warren Sapp. Or he texted me, hey, I'm interviewing Warren Sapp. What should I ask him? And I think it might have been even in the middle of our show where we were doing something. So I just, in 2 seconds, I just texted back, is Justin Fields good? Just ask that. And I was mostly kidding, like that wouldn't be your question. But that was his question, as you're about to hear. And this was the response from the great Warren Sapp.
The question is this. We got a quarterback named Justin Fields. How good is he?
You know what? How good is the preparation, the practicing, and the people you're going to put around it? Because what I'm hearing out of Chicago is they're finna package him up, trade him for some other pieces, and then go with the Bryce kid from Alabama.
Wow, I did not know that. That's a good little insight right there.
I'm in Florida and I hear this and you haven't?
They haven't really told us anything.
Trust me, there's smoke everywhere talking about them trading Justin Fields and going after Bryce.
Wow. All we've really been hearing is that they need to give him a lot of weapons. So nobody's ever said the trade deal, but I wouldn't be surprised.
A lot of weapons and you only have one pick, what do you do? You trade away that one thing you have for a couple weapons, and then you get a much more capable thrower of the ball.
Wow. That is a good – that's good to hear. That actually makes me happy. It means that the Bears are trying things.
I just put it out there. It might be a big fire brewing, and you didn't see it coming, but Warren Sapp told you first.
So for those who don't know the brilliance of Lawrence Bendetto, you know, when things just don't add up, you get so upset, which is, I think, partly at least, and I should have drove this harder, but like partly why we didn't play this yesterday, because we were like, this is just total bullshit. We're not playing this stuff, but we're playing it today. You don't buy it, Lawrence/Nick? No one buys it?
I mean, just shut up, Warren Sapp. Like, honestly. What are you talking about? That's why. That's why when I built the graphic, I put that picture of him looking.
It was perfect. It was a great picture.
It's on the Brett Boone podcast, by the way. This is a legitimate outlet. Go ahead,
Brett Boone. The baseball player, Brett Boone?
Yeah, had the huge season, 140 RBIs with the Seattle Mariners. That dude, he's got a lot of contacts, and apparently Warren Sapp is one of them. Nick, thoughts?
He's a contact, but he's not the next Adam Schefter there, Mark, about breaking news of, you know, what the Bears want to do. And obviously you need to surround Justin Fields with weapons. And I'm just not buying it, Mark. He, you know, he's hearing that stuff in Florida. And we're not, you know, obviously we're in the Chicagoland area not hearing any of this stuff. But more so, I think what we're expecting is that Justin Fields is the guy for the Bears. And I have a feeling, Mark, this is only the beginning. Right. We're only on January. It's only January 27th. How many, you know, former NFL players are we going to hear talk about what the Bears could possibly do with Justin Fields, trading him away and trying to go get one of these quarterbacks? But this is only the beginning, baby. So we might as well get used to it while we can.
Well, and don't be sensitive about it, Bears fans. I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you how to tweet. I can't tell you how to internet. I can't tell you how to be a fan. I never want to do your thing. But I'm still doing that. It's a straight hypocrisy, right? Don't get all bent out of shape because people are throwing out trade rumors on Justin Fields, which you can find all over the internet these days if you want to search for it. It is interesting, a couple of things he said. He looks at Bryce Young as a better thrower of the football. You want to quibble with that? Because I would.
I mean, if we're looking at I would have to go back to even like their college production, because that's Justin Fields was throwing the ball too. He didn't even do the running part that he's doing now with the Bears, Mark. So even then, like, I look, Bryce Young is a guy that people are probably going to want to move up to go get, but we still got to see it at the NFL level. And Justin Fields hasn't had that success yet. He's still looking to have more consistency in the passing game. But before Justin Fields was running all over the NFL, he was passing from the pocket at Ohio State.
I bury the lead, by the way. Slight left turn. I love that you're wearing your Hawkeye gear today. Two Hawkeyes on the show right now.
Three? With Lawrence?
Oh, three. What am I talking about? Three Hawkeyes on the show right now. Although Lawrence did not finish his career at Iowa. He just, you know. Yeah.
Two and a half. Okay.
Yeah. But it counts. Hey. And you had the most fun in your college career in Iowa City, right?
I mean, I don't know how much fun you had, but I enjoyed my time there. I learned a lot more socially than academically.
Yeah, well, I had to have my friend from the University of Hartford, where I went to my first year because I couldn't get into Iowa. I had to have him take a test for me, the midterm in chemistry, to somehow survive my first year with a 1.93. I think you needed a 1.8 to remain. I was on the verge of getting kicked out, so it just, fortunately for me, did not happen. Then I really stepped it up, and I finished with a strong 2.37. Damn it, University of Iowa. We just
C's for degrees.
Yes, C's for degrees. Exactly right.
Exactly.
Would do it differently for all you youngsters out there if I could go back again. But that was my mindset at the time. And anyway, let's move forward. I just think it's interesting, the Bryce Young part of this. A couple things you just said, Nick. Number one. Look, he's not Peyton Manning coming out. He is not a consensus number one overall pick, is what I'm trying to point out. So how much value can the Bears get for the pick versus, they're not going to do this, I'd be stunned, but Ryan Poles also didn't completely close the door to it, saying he'd have to be blown away. You know, how much more could they get if they were willing to trade Fields? Plus, you get the 2 years of control back. If you went with a rookie quarterback, if your evaluation went that way, then you really liked Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Will Levis or whoever. And so, you know, the conversation continues. I would bet a large amount of money, if I had that, that he's not going anywhere. But it is interesting. It's like, you know, a, quote, better thrower of the football. No. I wouldn't say it like that. If you want to say something like that, I would say I even don't like what I'm about to say now, but a more developed pocket passer, perhaps, like something like that. You could say maybe, probably not, but maybe.
Yeah, and I wonder how Bryce Young would have done in Justin Fields' situation with the offensive line, the wide receivers, and you know maybe it's similar results. But look, there are benefits, and like there are benefits of having a rookie quarterback and what you're able to do with your roster in terms of just getting bigger free agents and having that luxury of having that rookie contract. And obviously Justin Fields is still on that, but eventually, you know, after this year three, you can negotiate and offer an extension. But having a rookie quarterback does provide a lot more flexibility, and that should be the start of it. So that's obviously the benefits of it. But look, I don't think the Bears are going to draft Bryce Young. They're going to trade down this pick and get assets, I believe, to help Justin Fields become the quarterback and the passer that I think a lot of fans in our chat, a lot of people that watch CHGO believe he can be.
Walter, I 1,000% agree with you. And if he was coming up, by the way, the pick would have a lot more value for the Bears, I would think. Although that's
for the podcast listeners, let's read that out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much, Law. I continue to
Walter
do
that. Walter says that Justin would be the number one pick in this draft, and it's not close.
Yeah, a lot of good chats coming through here, and we're focused on the Walter part because I think Walter just hit the nail on the head. He Justin Fields absolutely would be the number one pick in this draft, and it is not close. However, he's not in this draft. So
he just offers more in terms of like the ability to escape from the pocket that you don't see from CJ Stroud. He's obviously a way bigger prospect than Bryce Young. That's going to be the biggest thing with him, Mark. If someone's moving up to go get Bryce Young, who's maybe going to come in at 5'10", 180, 190, like that's small for your franchise quarterback. And yep, the game has changed. You can keep him safe, things like that. But it is that's not Justin Fields. Justin Fields is the biggest dude, one of the bigger quarterbacks, obviously very physical, and has a lively arm. So it is different, and I think he would be the number one overall pick or the best quarterback, at least, in this draft.
Right, and to that point, I mean, one of my favorite moments of the season was when Fields got to the goal line and just trucked whoever the hell that was, name forgetting me right now. Do you remember?
Deshaun Elliott.
Deshaun, thank you, Lawrence. Thank you. That was
– I'm here for you on a Friday.
I mean, how many quarterbacks in NFL history literally could truck you to that level? I mean, Josh Allen could do it now. Russell.
Not many.
That was awesome.
And all I remember, right, I talked to Chase Allen about that play. He's like, yeah, you know, Justin was the hammer on that. You don't see that from a quarterback. So he got amped up. And like you said, Mark, you don't see that a lot from your franchise quarterback. And when he does that, it resonates in the locker room.
I want to throw another quarterback name at you, Nick, because you're going down to the Senior Bowl in Mobile next week, and we're going to have a ton of coverage for it. Our show time is actually going to change next week. I believe Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the show is going to be at 6 o'clock. I assume that's not a secret we should be telling people because that's what we're doing. But, you know, one name that you're going to get to see down there who is a two-time national champion is Stetson Bennett. 29-3. Now, he did not throw for the 12,000 yards that my guy Brock Purdy did, but he threw for 8,400, all right, which is not exactly terrible. His touchdown interception rate is excellent. 29-7 as a junior, 27-7 as a senior, 66 touchdowns to 21 interceptions for his career. He's considered a day two pick. What do you think of him right now, Nick? I assume you're going to be paying attention to this guy down there. It's one of the more interesting names that's going to be playing. A lot of people don't think he should be playing. I'm looking for a backup quarterback who's got some upside, who could be a dynamic, who if Justin Fields does get hurt and the Bears stock their roster, we can have somebody that can step in and continue to move them forward and or at least be interesting to watch other than like, oh, season's over. I'm watching Trevor Siemian. I don't care.
For me, Mark, look, Stetson Bennett's going to be somebody that I think is going to have so much success at the Senior Bowl. He's a natural leader. He's good from the pocket. And this is not going to be a complex offense that they're going to be running there at the Senior Bowl. It's going to be more so things that you can get accustomed to these players within, what, 3 or 4 days of practice and then go run it. Mac Jones had a lot of success in the Senior Bowl last year, and I think Stetson Bennett's on that trajectory. Again, if he's a day two pick, I think it's a little too rich for the Bears to go out and, you know, draft a quarterback there just because obviously they have so many needs and quarterback, I would say, isn't one of them. But I do – we go back to the conversation we had earlier in the week. It's the Bears should be drafting quarterbacks, developmental quarterbacks. It's not a bad thing to do. If anything, it's a benefit because you see what the 49ers situation is. But for me, I don't think he's going to be on the Bears' radar if he is, in fact, a day two pick. Maybe the physical limitations – we'll push him down a little bit. Then it can get interesting on day three where you're in that fourth through seventh round. But he's going to succeed out there. I know he is, and it's going to be fun to see him elevate some of the wide receivers that I think the Bears will also be looking at while they're at the Senior Bowl.
Reasons why he could slip. He's 5'11". He's 190 pounds. He's 25 years old. Law took a shot at him in the pregame show saying, why would we draft a 30-year-old quarterback? He's Velus Jones Part 2 at 25. To the comments that are coming in on the screen for you listening in the audio world, how many Senior Bowls has Stetson Bennett played in? Listen, I don't care. I don't care that he's 25. I don't care that he's 25. I to be honest, I'm not sure he can play. Are you drinking beer? Do you got a Goose Island over there?
I do. I'm waiting for that. Adrian had to get it right, you know? We'll quickly show the no plans here, but you're gonna hear all about Goose Island. There you go.
I mean, I go ahead and tell everybody about Goose Island right now. If we're just coordinate the show, Nick, because you know you're pulling up a nice beverage. It's Friday. I didn't know this was a drinking show, and that's a sweet Bears glass that you've got your Goose Island in. Maybe Stetson Bennett can have a beer at Goose Island when he gets to Chicago as a day three. So all of a sudden, slips to the fifth round, and the Bears are like, you know what? We're pulling up the Stetson, baby. SB, Super Bowl, Stetson Bennett. Damn it. Let's go. We need a backup QB. I'm in.
Let's go. He's definitely old enough to drink there, Mark. And I got to tell you all about Goose Island. CHO is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer since 1988. So many great options like the Blackhawks Pale Ale, Bull City 312, Beer Hug IPA series. And I just showed you, if you're watching, the No Plans by Goose Island. This one we saw when we were at the brewery. Had to go check it out. And also, if you go to Binny's, apparently you can get a bag of chips for a penny when you buy the No Plans IPA there. So there's a lot of great benefits to Goose Island there. And Goose Island's two local locations are open and ready to welcome you. Grab a beer right from their innovation tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room at 1800 West Fulton, or get a smash burger and a fresh beer of the week at the Original Clybourne Brew House at 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and pickup, go to gooseisland.com/locations, Goose Island Beer Company.
Me and you, buddy. Smash burger, couple of beverages after one of the shows in studio when you get back from Alabama to celebrate. Actually,
yes.
After we get back from the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
you got Nick, you got a good life going on over there, buddy. Congratulations. I'm very, very, very proud of you. I'm also proud, Lawrence, you like this transition, of the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, which is committed to helping families, individuals, and businesses in the communities they serve using the best in energy and lowering your energy bills now and into the future. ComEd, with a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades, there is a lot they can do to make you have more money in your pocket and also make the world more efficient at the same time. Visit ComEd.com/poweringbiz now to start saving money and energy to start a project. You can also contact them at 855-433-2700, 855-433-2700. Or for more information through the email method, you go business. At ComEd.com or public sector. At ComEd.com. Hells yes. All right. I really like how the show's going so far. So, NFL news yesterday. A lot of coaching shenanigans, if you will. But the biggest one I think that's interesting to the Bears is that Nathaniel Hackett has found employment again, fired by the Broncos in the nightmare that whatever the hell that was. And he's now the offensive coordinator of the Jets. The Jets are willing to give up multiple first-round picks, according to Peter King, to get a veteran quarterback. We all know that Nathaniel Hackett was with the Packers from 2019 to 2021. If you forgot, I'm telling you right now, there's a connection there. Maybe we're going to do Jets-Green Bay Part 2, Favre/Rodgers. What do you think, Nick?
Two first-round picks for Rodgers at this point. Mark, it does seem a little hefty, but like, shouldn't the New York Jets already have learned from the Denver Broncos? You need to get Aaron Rodgers first before you get the guys that he wants to be with, because that didn't work out for the Denver Broncos. They ended up with Russell Wilson, didn't end up working out, but I feel like this is repeating all over again. And Brett Favre went to the New York Jets. They got a disgruntled Brett Favre. You're getting maybe a disgruntled Aaron Rodgers, it's very similar in how these things are playing out. But do you want Aaron Rodgers out of the division, Mark, or are you somebody that you want to see the Bears kind of make it to the top, beat Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, stake their claim at, you know, maybe the top of the NFC North? I know I talked to Kevin Kaduk, our head of content here at CHGO, about it. He's like, I kind of want to see Aaron Rodgers stay so the Bears can finally beat him. And like, we've seen that. We tried that for many, many years. It hasn't really worked out.
This one probably falls for me as a win-win, I would say. I'm in for the drama of him going to New York and being in the bright lights and trying to turn Garrett Wilson into Davante Adams, which if I was Aaron Rodgers and I'm thinking about the Jets, Garrett Wilson would have me awful excited about throwing him the football, even as great as Christian Watson may be down the line. I think Garrett's a little bit little bigger fish in the swimming pool, if you will. But ideally, he stays in Green Bay. The Bears kick his ass, and you know, we sort of end Rodgers in Green Bay, and you may have owned us, just like the Detroit Pistons once owned the Chicago Bulls in 3-state playoffs. But then we swept your ass out of here, and we dunked on you, Aaron, up in Lambeau and down at Soldier Field. I'm down. What's up, Lo?
I just threw a poll on the YouTube for our YouTube watchers, and it says, what do you want next for Aaron Rodgers? Stay with Green Bay so we can beat him, or go away? So very early on, but it's a tight 50-50 split.
Is that two votes?
That's 14.
All right, we'll take it. Where are you voting, Law? I want your vote.
You know, God, I'm sick of him. Honestly, though, it's not like he's going to go away. We're still going to hear from him every week. So just stay in the division and let's beat his ass. How about that?
There we go. Keep him around. And to your point, Nick, just because you got Nathaniel Hackett doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's the same thing. There was a lot of smoke last year. He's going to be a Bronco. He's going to be a Bronco. Yeah, no, he's not going to be a Bronco. But when you go through a season, you don't make the playoffs, you've got a $50 million contract coming at you. I don't want to get out too far over my skis here on what's possible, you know, trading him with that number, how that all works. But there's a lot go ahead.
I'll just add more fuel to the fire here for maybe Rodgers going to the New York Jets. Back in 2020, in November, Aaron Rodgers was asked about Nathaniel Hackett. He said, I love him. Hope he doesn't go anywhere. This is when he's still a part of the team, unless I do. So, I mean, this is a guy that Aaron Rodgers is big on the people that he's with.
Part of our culture change and a part of our success on offense. I love him. Hope he doesn't go anywhere, unless I do.
What a creep. What a creep. Can I hear that one more time? I look at that smirk.
But Hack has been a really important part of our culture change and a part of our success on offense. I love him. Hope he doesn't go anywhere, unless I do.
Chancellor Johnson.
Chancellor, would you like to follow up on that smirk and unless I do, and I'm playing all the angles? God bless him on some level. All right, dude, congrats. You've got all the leverage. We all would like that in our lives. You know,
Aaron Rodgers.
I love working with Nick, and I'd love to continue to work with Nick unless I, you know, go somewhere else, and, you know, and then I'll just take Nick with me or, you know, we'll work it out.
You're taking Nick away from us? What's happening?
Well, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I can just do whatever the hell I want.
Oh, I see.
You know, leverage.
Full control. Yeah. He's big on being with friends. And if Nathaniel Hackett's a guy that he really likes, maybe there's something there. But like I said, we've seen it all before with what just happened in Denver.
Yeah. All right. Dan Quinn staying with the Cowboys. Frank Reich going back where it all started out in Carolina. He was their first ever quarterback. Now he's their head coach. They, you know, said Steve Wilks, thank you, but no thank you as our interim. Any reaction to the rest of the NFL news yesterday?
Well, for Frank Reich, I'm just wondering, you know, how it's all going to play out with the quarterback situation there. Who's going to be their quarterback? He just came from a situation in Indianapolis where there was a revolving door of quarterbacks and eventually got him fired. And had he had some stability, he would probably still be there. So with Carolina, I wonder if that puts them in the sweepstakes of trying to move up to get one of these top guys, because that's, he knows exactly what life is like when you don't have good quarterback play. He has, the Indianapolis Colts have a good roster. They don't have a stable, consistent quarterback that can help them win games. So for Frank, I wonder if that puts now the Carolina Panthers in a position where they might want to move heaven and earth, like, you know, Chris Ballard was saying in Indianapolis, to go get a quarterback.
Which is why, if you're the Bears yesterday and the Frank Reich news drops, okay, that probably doesn't do anything to change my day, even my thought in the moment. However, when you go down the road and think, okay, this dude is going to want a quarterback. We need as many teams wanting a quarterback as possible. Carolina's been there, but maybe they're there just a little bit stronger right now. I'm not afraid to fall down to 9. I'm not afraid to fall down further than 9. You have to trust Ryan Poles that he is able to get good players later in the draft. They're, by all accounts, and we're going to be doing an incredible deep dive on all these guys as we get closer and closer to the draft, and it's already going on behind the scenes now. But I would like to think that there is some edge rusher that would excite Bears fans, that excites Ryan Poles, that if they do drop down to get multiple first-round picks this year, the following years, that it's not just like they have to have Jalen Carter or Will Anderson or else this draft's going to – they won't get an impact player out of this draft. There's no way – stating the overly obvious that 5 years from now, when you look back at this draft, that those are going to be the only impact players in the first round. There's going to be a bunch, and hopefully the Bears can identify who the hell that is.
You know, maybe if you package a nice Carolina, let's say you do drop down to the Carolina Panthers pick, and they're like, hey, we'll throw in Brian Burns, a guy that's been ultra productive at the defensive end position there. I think that would make Bears fans happy. I know that we rarely fixate on those two defenders, obviously, in Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, but there are options. DJ Moore is also a guy that I know a lot of Bears fans have talked about, you know, wanting the possibility of him. So things can happen if that were to be the move. But like you said, Mark, there's going to be so many players that are not named Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, that are going to be impact players. And the Bears are going to wish maybe they drafted them sooner or higher, whatever it may be. But those are obviously the guys that, you know, seem like the sure thing, but there's going to be a lot of other players that can impact teams.
Hit the like button if you're confident the Bears can get a good player drafting further down in the draft, or vice versa, I guess.
Just maybe. Hit that like button.
Just hit the like button, period. But I am actually interested in the chat, if and we can talk about it if people are like, there's just I do not believe in Ryan Poles at all. I want him to take a sure thing. I don't want him taking swings. I see Kyler Gordon, and I like Kyler Gordon, but I think he sort of missed on Kyler Gordon and or Jaquan Brisker when I consider that, you know, you could have drafted a wide receiver and you might feel a whole lot better than, you know, what at least Justin Fields feels right now as far as his offensive weapons around him. You know, I don't know. My point being is that there is worthy skepticism out there that Poles can identify skill position players. He has yet to do it. I'm not saying that he can't. I'm just saying he hasn't done it yet.
Small sample size too. And yeah, this is going to be obviously a big opportunity for him. And if you're a GM or an up and coming GM, wouldn't this be the position you want to be in, Mark? You have the number one overall pick. You have all this cap space. And now you have all these options. And this is your time as an evaluator, as someone who obviously does a deep dive into all these prospects, has your team in place, that now you need to go do your job and find the right guy. So if anything, I know this could be maybe a stressful time for a lot of, you know, NFL general managers, but also just a super exciting time. So we'll see how Ryan Poles obviously handles it. And I know I tweeted out a couple days ago when it was his 1 year anniversary since taking the job, how confident Bears fans feel about him, you know, after this first year. And overwhelmingly, people are still confident what he can accomplish, what he can do, given all the things, all the options, the flexibility, the cap space, the draft capital that he's going to have in 2023.
I like to see Bears fans confident in the GM. That's nice. DeBears 85 with a $10 super chat. DeBears 85, appreciate you. Cheers, guys. How many starters do the Bears need this offseason? Do the Bears need to become a wild card team, realistically, considering the money and picks we have and likely hit rate on picks? Hold on. Do the Bears need to become a wild card team, realistically, considering the money and picks we have and likely hit rate on picks? Okay.
Well, you know, I'll take a stab at this first, Mark, real quick.
Yeah, well, the topic of the show today is, you know, who was the best player on the team outside of Justin Fields, so this which leads into the starters. So go ahead.
Yeah, and we talked about a lot of the holes that are still on this Bears roster in yesterday's show and how many starters they can realistically need. So how many starters exactly? Well, you can look at the right tackle. Let's go offense first. Right tackle position, you still need a number one. If you're keeping David Montgomery, you're going to need another running back. You could definitely use another. Well, you have Cole Kmet, but you can use another backup tight end. But there's at least 3 to 4 just on offense alone. Then we go to defense. You could use 2 new starting defensive ends if you really wanted to. A 3-tech, a better 3-tech. We talked about that. Nickel, a Will linebacker. So we're about to get double digits here, but it's there's a lot that needs to be done.
Let's do it this way. I think you need 2 offensive linemen. I think you need 2 receivers. That's 4. I think I'm going to leave the running back room alone. So I think 4. I think you 4. Need 3. I think you need 3 defensive linemen. 7. I think you need 2 linebackers, 9. And I'll leave the corner.
Then a nickel corner. Or you have outside or nickel.
So 9, 10, or 11, depending on your viewpoint. Half the team. That's what you need. A lot. So the NFL is so weird. The whole, can they make the playoffs next year? Where will they be? You know, I talk to a lot of people who do this for a living. There is no way they're making the playoffs next year. You don't know that. There's 7,000 different factors that are going to go into it. Outside of the fact that the Bears were 1-7 last year in 1-score games. Mm-hmm. And that roster sucked. So the roster is going to be better, the Bears 85. There's no doubt about it. Could they be a wild card team? By the way, you know, more teams make the playoffs these days. You got 9-8 teams in the playoffs. Can the Bears get to 9 wins next year?
That's where I want to take this, Mark, too. Yeah. Because can the 2023 Bears be the 2022 Giants? And here's why I say this. They were 4-13 in 2021, right? They get the new head coach with Dable, and you see the things Daniel Jones is doing. They went 9-7-1. Made it to the wild card, won their first round of the wild card, and then obviously got destroyed by the Eagles. But when you look at that roster, there's not a lot of high value like stud players, right? Dexter Lawrence is the one name I keep thinking of out of Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones that you say is like, that's a really good player. The Bears don't have that kind of guy. But can the Bears make that jump like a lot of teams do from being worst in their division to, you know, going up the ladder either to first or being in the Giants situation? So if Bears fans, I'll ask you this too in the chat, if the Bears were to be the 2022 New York Giants, would you be happy about that? For them to win 9 games and make the playoffs?
Right. And so that's where I think you have to go just big picture, period. I could care less if they make the playoffs next year, outside of the fact that it would be very good, I would think, for CHGO if the Bears are in the playoffs next year. So we would love it. But what's more important is that they stay on as linear, and these things aren't linear, but they stay on somewhat of a linear path to winning the Super Bowl. Getting in the playoffs as a 9-8 team that's got a 3% chance of winning the bowl and doing that repeatedly sucks. It's not, there's no real fun in it. And we talked about it earlier in the week that the last time the Bears had back-to-back winning seasons was 2005 and 2006, which is nearly impossible to do, but yet the Bears have done it. So you want sustained success, bites at the apple, and whether they make the playoffs or not next year and how they spend their money this year, it's got to be, and it's the NFL's tricky. You're the Fields, you're going to have to pay him. You might pay him after next season. I hope they do pay him after next season. That would mean that things went well this year, and perhaps you get him at a little bit of a discount than you would, you know, after year four. So you're going to have to do your job at a very high level if you're going to have sustained success, let alone any success. So, yes, we're all starving for some success. But 28-20, the first year when Nagy went to the playoffs, 12-4, you know what that year was? Fun, and then it sucked. And it was a fluke, as it turned out. It wasn't even that fun, because you knew that the quarterback wasn't good enough. And there was a lot of smoke at the time saying, like, you know, there were some people that were believing in Mitch. And I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, guy's not good. He's okay. And it was obviously triply more painful what was going on in Houston and what was going on in Kansas City. Not immediately, because, you know, Mahomes had to wait to play. But I retweeted a thing today, like, Patrick Mahomes was nasty in college. And I'm watching these highlights, because I really haven't watched a ton of Mahomes in college. I'm watching them, and it's like, how could you possibly do that? Not, I know it's low-hanging fruit. And I know we've talked about it a million times, but he had one unbelievable throw back of the end zone, two defenders right on the receiver. Yep. He hits him. I'm like, how do you watch that and not think, oh my God, that guy's ridiculous? And plus, he looked, when you looked at him at Texas Tech, he looked bigger. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, truck of a dude out there.
Mark, that will always be one of my, I guess, greatest victories as a writer, a blogger early on. I remember we were just doing mock draft season and everyone was high on Deshaun Watson, even Trubisky. And I'm like, final draft, number three overall, let's just take Patrick Mahomes. And I remember putting in, this guy can be special. I got tore up all over social media. And I'm like, that aged pretty well. So we're just listening to me.
Dude, I want you to retweet that right now. Do you have that? Who did you write that for?
That was for before the Chicago Audible was a Chicago Audible. Will and I were the Bears Brothers. So there was Brothers podcast. So I can try to find that real quick, Mark.
I think that's worth retweeting. Just a reminder, when you're listening to your guy Nick here over at CHGO and you're looking for my draft expert. This was my expertise in 2017. Right? You deserve props on that, man. Seriously. Oh,
here we go. I got it. Nice. I'm going to put this somewhere.
put that somewhere. DeBears85 with a $5 follow-up super chat. Thanks, guys. 1 year turnaround to wildcard. Awesome. But yes, Carm, let's get that Super Bowl. Yes, DeBears85. I mean, hell's yes to you, DeBears85. By the way, I don't want to be mean. And one of the coolest things about Jared Payton is how much he wants to talk about his dad at any point in time. Like, if you're first meeting Jared and you grew up and you love Walter, he will talk to you about it all day. And Jared's just a great dude, period. But he was on the WGN Channel 9 News yesterday, and the tweet was making its way around Twitter of him singing the Super Bowl Shuffle, and he's singing his dad's words, and he got the damn words wrong in his dad's verse. Come on, man, you can't get your dad's words wrong, JP, my guy. The hell is that?
It happens. But, it happens to the best of us. If it happens to JP, it can happen to all of us.
I mean, you call me sweetness because I like to dance. Running the ball is like making romance. We had to go through training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here looking for trouble. We just came here to do the Super Bowl Shuffle. Might have been came down to the Super Bowl Shuffle. There it is. Moriano, 7-round mock draft, 3.0. Round one, third overall, Patrick Mahomes. All right. You read. Why don't you read it? Because it's a little, for me over here, I'm a little struggling. Although I think
let me pull this up on a different screen so that I can see it.
I got it. All right. Before you decide to close out of my mock draft, just give me a second to explain myself. Is taking Mahomes with the number three overall pick a bit extreme? Yes, especially when you look at all the defensive talent in the draft. If the Bears are seriously considering drafting a quarterback within the first two rounds, then they have no choice but to draft one at number three. From what I've heard, and who knows if this even means anything, is that the Bears don't seem interested in Mitch Trubisky. Got that one wrong. Based off of that, I went with the guy who has the most upside and that kept leading me to Mahomes. He has that X factor when it comes to making the difficult throws look routine. The arm is incomparable to the rest of the quarterbacks in this draft. Yeah, he comes from a more spread offense at Texas Tech, but that doesn't mean he can't succeed in the NFL. Besides, I don't expect him to start this season. You got that right. Mike Glennon will be the starter. Well, he was for four games. And that will give Mahomes an entire season to develop. I think Mahomes can be special. If this is the quarterback general manager Ryan Pace wants, then he needs to go after him. You nailed it, dude.
Bravo.
I mean, yes.
There's some grammatical errors I definitely saw in that. And there was, you know, some things working out. But, yeah, like those highlights that I saw at Texas Tech that you were just referencing, Mark, it's like, man, how he's right. There's something to him. There's something right. To him.
Right. So that's the thing. I don't think it takes a genius. I watch 5 seconds. I'm like, the guy's incredible. He just hit that dude who was barely open in the short corner of the end zone with an incredible throw against his body. He just was on the move and fired one to the back of the end zone. Now he's running through everybody. Doug Van Dorn in the chat here. You also have to recall that Mahomes was undrafted. When it was underrated in that draft, because a lot of the narrative around him was that as the son of a famous baseball player, he was in the wrong sport. I mean, that's just if that I don't remember that, but if that's the case, that's just moronic.
I think the spread offense too was a big thing for him. It's like, oh, how will he translate into the NFL nowadays? Like he's putting up all these crazy numbers. Gotta look past that. Just gotta look past that. Can he play ball? Can he be an awesome quarterback and make throws that nobody else can? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, he can.
Yeah, no, you should have been the Bears GM and not Ryan Pace. Just think about it. The Chiefs are about to play in their fifth consecutive AFC Championship game at home. They've got a Super Bowl. They would have had two if their entire offensive line hadn't fallen apart. And they are the essence of a team that's built for sustained success.
No doubt about it. And there was a clip earlier on last night on social media about the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Bucks, and some of the throws that Patrick Mahomes was making in that game that were dropped by his receivers. It's like, man, they had opportunities, but the other 10 players on the field couldn't capitalize. When Patrick Mahomes is throwing horizontally, about to hit the ground, throws into the end zone and hits off one of his players' face masks, like, the dude is special, and I'm really looking forward to Sunday's game.
Who do you like? Joe Burrow 3-0 versus Patrick Mahomes. They're changing the name. If they lose, they might actually officially change the name from Arrowhead to Burrowhead. shout out to Rich Eisen, who I was watching one of his clips, and he was underlining quarterbacks versus quarterbacks. Troy Aikman beat Steve Young his first 3 times. Guy by the name of Tom Brady beat Peyton Manning his first 6 times. Burrow's 3-0 versus Mahomes. Seems it's hard to believe, but shout out Joe Burrow. Dude knows how to play big in the biggest games, and a lot of people like Cincinnati in this one. I don't know where you come out.
Yeah, we talked about it on yesterday's show, Mark. I'm still rolling with Kansas City. And I know that Patrick Mahomes is not at the best of health with his ankle. He can't put a lot of weight. He may be hobbling, but the dude could still throw. He's still a playmaker. And I know we wanted to talk about this. Was that the best move, right, for Andy Reid to throw him back out there after what you saw Chad Henne did with the 98-yard touchdown drive and they score? But
Well, let's have that conversation right after you tell us all about DraftKings, and we want to have a discussion with you about football intelligence, and Nick and I think are kind of on opposite sides, at least a little bit. But first, our friends at DraftKings.
Yes, there's 4 NFL teams, Mark, 2 conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, counting down to Super Bowl 57. New customers can just bet $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Not a new customer. You can feel the conference championship thrills with stepped up same game parlays. Take your shot at an even bigger NFL payout and boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. And for me, like, I think this, I'm looking at the 49ers Eagles game, those two defenses. I'm taking the under at 46.5. I don't know if those defenses are going to allow too much scoring to be had in that one. So I'm taking the under there. And if you watch the CHGO Bears show regularly, you know I'm not that good on bets. So take that for what you want. But I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring. But first, what you got to do, you got to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championship to get 200 in free bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
And also, in addition to DraftKings, want to say hi and thank you to our friends at Game Time Tickets, the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Listen, I got two things for you. Number one, you want to sit courtside, you want to sit up top, you want to sit 50-yard line, you want to sit back of the end zone because you just want to be in the building. You will not get a better price anywhere than Game Time Tickets. The lowest price is guaranteed. It's created by the fans for the fans, which is why they're a perfect partner, by the way, for us at CHGO. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app. Score the best seats to all your favorite events. I'm looking at Northwestern Minnesota tickets because that's what everyone's is hot for, as Lawrence is showing you the United Center and the Bulls coming up on Tuesday. And they're now all of a sudden we got the Cats pulled up as well. Look at that, $8 up top. And I mean, look at that. Look at that beautiful view for a little Big Ten basketball for the upstart Wildcats, third in the Big Ten, going for their sixth conference win tomorrow, 11 a.m. So if you buy, like, say, two tickets there and you need another two, hit me up at the Carm on Twitter. No one's taking me up on this offer. I got two tickets, 11 a.m. tomorrow. Somehow I'll figure out a way to get them to you. Get a parking pass, too. Trying to support my friends over there at Northwestern. Maybe you'll come on out for the Iowa game, Nick.
Yeah, they were supposed to play earlier this season, but a little COVID kind of derailed that. So if they're in, I'm down.
All right, there you go. I think they have a home and home with them. They play away at Iowa on Tuesday night. But all right, so let us discuss football intelligence. So last week, Kansas City, many people are picking them to win the Super Bowl. This is not a team that's just trying to scratch out a playoff win. I get it, by the way. You know, playoffs are the playoffs. You lose, season's over. But the Chiefs were, you know, they're at home. They're playing Jacksonville. Jaguars are feisty. But in my mind, the Chiefs are the better team. Patrick Mahomes has a high ankle sprain. They leave him out there. Franchise quarterback, you're paying him $500 million. Mm-hmm. He's hobbling around. They decide, oh, let's put in Chad Henne. He goes in, looks pretty damn good. Go down the field, they score. Now, by the way, that's not even the point. But they were still, the offense was still functioning. Instead, they send him in for x-rays, and then second half comes around, and bang, let's get him back out there. And I think, you know, a lot of people are like, it's a playoff game. You got to play him. I'm like, you are playing with fire. Maybe he's not going to – first of all, he is going to make the ankle worse. It's not going to help him in his recovery if he's playing on it. Second of all, he can't move as well, so he could hurt something else. Third of all, he's Patrick Mahomes. You know, if Carm's out there and I'm about to lose my career for it, well, okay, fine. Get somebody else to do the podcast, move along, done and done. You cannot do that when you have a guy that could go down as the all-time greatest quarterback in the history of the game. That is on the table for him. So I thought that Andy Reid and company made this an absolutely atrocious decision on so many levels last week. One, I thought they were going to still win the game. Two, you protect the player from himself. Three, you're also, you need him to be as healthy as possible when you're playing Cincinnati this week and whoever you're going to play in the Super Bowl, bet on the Eagles. And maybe that one's okay because, you know, we've got a little bit of time there until the February the 12th weekend. But I just thought Kansas City was just absolutely a prisoner of the moment and a prisoner of Mahomes' desire. And I thought they made a huge mistake. And maybe it won't prove out to be that way. But regardless of what happens, I thought the Chiefs were completely wrong.
Well, Mark, here's the thing, too. Obviously, Chad Henne had that successful 98 touchdown drive, and that was great to see. We just don't know if that would have been sustainable, if they would have actually came out of that game victorious and would have moved on to be in the conference championship game had he been just a quarterback. And I know hobbling Mahomes was, you know, really stretching out to even do handoffs, but Mahomes, I still think, gave him the best chance to win. And here's the other thing, too. Championship windows are not supposed to be open for everybody. Maybe for a guy like Mahomes, they are. And he is on that big contract. He's not going anywhere. But 2018, obviously, he starts playing. He wins a Super Bowl in 2020, 2 years now. I mean, we're still seeing when he's gonna be back, obviously. But I think the thing is, they know, the Kansas City Chiefs know that championship windows can't be taken lightly. Even with a guy like that, there's too many variables for the Chiefs to always come back, and they're hosting their fifth straight, you know, AFC championship game. That's championship game, but there's no guarantee that they're going to be there next year. Like, the team needs to obviously be in a position to where he's going to, you know, elevate them and take them. And they did great things without Tyreek Hill, but I think they just know what this moment means. And it's two more games, Mark. He has a whole offseason to rest that ankle and get ready for the 2023 season and be good to go.
Hey, Nick, let me ask you a question. Let me give you some hypotheticals, not even hypotheticals. How about you just leave him out there? Or how about you take him out? And if the Jaguars take a touchdown lead, Patrick, rescue city, baby. We need you. They weren't even willing to play that out, even into a tie game before they had to put him back out there. And the other side, I'm trying to protect your window, dude. I'm trying to protect it for you. That's how I'm thinking. The window this year is more open if he's healthier this week. Now, he's at practice and he's spinning around and he looks like he's mostly, or at least he's somehow, the miracle has happened. He's gotten healthy, but I don't know. Doug Van Dorn in the chat is saying, if Mahomes was playing behind the Bengals O-line, he'd have been forced out of the game with restricted mobility. He can only stand because he has a plus O-line. There were still some scary moments, Doug, where it didn't look super comfortable at all. So even if you got a great offensive line, there's a lot of guys getting paid to kill you out there, and when you're wounded like that, you know, they start foaming at the mouth a little even further. But I mean, we'll see how it looks this week. I'm super excited for Sunday, and so yes, I'm with you though. I've got the Chiefs and I'm taking the Eagles. I forget exactly. Did you stick with the Eagles or did you move off that?
Yep. Stuck with the Eagles and then also with the Chiefs. And actually, earlier today, I ran to Dominique Robinson and was just kind of talking with him at the gym, like, hey, who do you got in the Super Bowl today? And he's like, he went a little bit back and forth on the AFC game. He's like, I know how good Patrick Mahomes is, but that ankle, and obviously him being a defensive player, what that can do for him. So he did end up choosing the Bengals. And he also played the Eagles earlier in the season and the 49ers. He's taken the Eagles and the Cincinnati Bengals to go into the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I had to ask his perspective on what he thought was going to happen this upcoming weekend.
Brock Purdy plays well and beats the Eagles here. Our conversation on Monday will be very interesting. that'll just throw a little more gasoline on the fire. All right, so let's wrap up here with our topic of the show, which was who had the best year on the Bears outside of Justin Fields, who we gave the crown to yesterday. Best year on team outside QB1. Who are you going with, Nick?
I'm going with Cole Kmet here, Mark. I think this is a guy that I don't know if I stole your pick here, but this is a guy that I think there's a lot of questions coming into the season for him. Could he actually be a productive tight end in the league? Could he actually score? Could he become a more effective blocker? And in this new offense with Luke Getsy, with a inconsistent passing game that we all know was the Bears in 2022, he had some really good stretches. And it was so good for him to see himself get into the end zone and be a productive tight end there. And hopefully can just grow in that area. But just what he was able to do, not only in the passing game, he was outside of he was a leading receiver. You know, he was a leading receiver for the Bears. He's not saying much, but he led there, and he's also a pretty consistent blocker throughout the year. You don't go on and lead the NFL in rushing without having, you know, some guys that can block for you up front. Obviously, offensive line can be a big part of that, but so is their tight ends when they're able to or asked to do that. So I'm going with Cole Kmet as the most consistent best player outside of Justin Fields in the 2022 season.
It is a fine choice, and I wouldn't quibble with it much. And listen, there's not much separation here. But I am going to shout out a guy at Law. Actually, Law, you want to pick one here before I give my brilliant take here?
No
interest. Okay, there we go. This dude, correct me just let me know when you got this one, Nick. This dude played in 12 football games, did not finish out the season. This dude drew the ire of Bears fans last couple of years. This dude led the team in tackles with 11 in a game where they got absolutely smoked by the Dallas Cowboys. This dude had 4 interceptions. He had one the opening week. He had one against the Texans. He had one against the Giants. He had one against Dallas. He played 100% of the snaps in 9 of the 12 games. So he was always out there. And I thought he was a rock star in the locker room. And you are absolutely right, Eric S. Not going to try your last name there. This dude is Eddie Jackson. I thought that Eddie Jackson had a fantastic season. And I was – one of the highlights of being in the locker room this year was getting to know Eddie a little bit. Great dude. Super fun. And he was consistent as hell, man. I thought he was a great leader too. So – I think we got to – I think, you know, I'm hoping he comes back healthy like we all are. But Bojack indeed, Anthony Ortiz, he was very, very solid for the Bears this year. And got some turnovers, got some big praise from the Flus. And there he is right there on cue, Matt Eberflus in the chat. We love Bojack.
Appreciate you, Matt Eberflus, for tuning into the CHGO Bears podcast here. But it's good to see.
Yeah.
Good to see for Bojack to be in this contention, to have the turnovers, to kind of – he had flashes of that 2018 Bojack. Not quite there yet, but it was nice to see him create those turnovers, have the instincts of the ball. And you have that for Matt Eberflus' defense, Alan Williams' defense in year two, you're going to create more of those turnovers.
He forced 2 fumbles. He had games of 9, 8, 9, and 8 tackles, games 2 through 5 in the season. He's getting paid $11 million next year. So everybody expects Bojack to be back. I expect Bojack to be back, but I'm not quite as confident as everybody else. I do wonder how creative Ryan Poles is going to get this off season with the roster, but I would expect that Eddie will be there. So anyway, we'll see. Nick, where are you going to be watching the games on Sunday? What's the plan? Are you going to be on the homestead? Are you going to be out drinking at Goose Island? Are you going to the brewery? What do we got?
I am going to one of my buddies' place in Chicago. We're former Iowa Hawkeyes all getting together, watching the football games and just having a good old time. What about you, Mark? What do you got planned?
I don't have any friends. I'll be at home by myself with Poppy the puppy. Nobody invites me anywhere, which probably doesn't surprise a whole lot of people. Lawrence, you got any friends, or will you be doing
family time? I haven't decided yet. I'm trying to get out of the house, to be honest, because – you know, with a 6-year-old trying to watch football all day, it's like, but I want the TV. And we're a 1 TV family. So that's, I got to find somewhere to go.
You're a 1 TV family. What a great household. Yeah. We're not doing this. There's other screens, by the way, if we want to, yeah, I got it. I like that parenting. That's excellent parenting. A+. All right. Well, hey, this was a super fun. Thank you for letting me pop in on the Friday show, Nick, as we switch things around a little bit this week. I know that normally this is Will time. So, but as things were, I got to sit here. So thank you for accommodating, my brother.
Thank you for being here, Mark. It was a great show. Hopefully everyone who watched and listened will enjoy it too. But We'll be back all next week, and Mark hinted at it earlier in the show. It's going to be a little bit of a different schedule with the Senior Bowl going on. So I think it's at 6 o'clock we're planning on going live for the CHGO Bears podcast. You'll get –
That's news to me.
Yep. All week? Yep. Tuesday, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, I think.
Yeah, because the practices don't line up really well where I can get on, and that's kind of how we're doing it. Got to know what's happening with Luke Getsy's squad, what's happening with the Senior Bowl players. Got to share that information with everybody who listens at CHGO. Okay.
Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett. All right, Poppy the Puppy got excited on that one. We're going to go for a walk. Everybody have a great weekend out there. Enjoy your NFC-AFC Championship game. Thank you for watching. Hit that like button on the way out and tell a friend about CHGO. We will see you on the Bears podcast on Monday.
Go Arsenal.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.